You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content as always. Trey Flynn, unfortunately, my co-host, is out today, out sick. So that is why you do not hear his lovely voice coming through on the airwaves to greet you with Timberwolves news. So hopefully he gets better quickly. Be thinking about him. Hopefully he returns to full health very fast so he can be back bringing you the fantastic content that he does every single day of the week for Monday. Today we are going to be talking about the Timberwolves and their matchup against the Mavericks. We will just look a little bit ahead to the matchups the rest of the weekend. Obviously, we'll be covering those in depth and all the results as well on Monday when we come back. So anything that I don't cover super in depth now will get touched on Monday as well. So you have that to look forward to. But today we'll be talking mostly about the Dallas Mavericks, who are going to be in town tonight. And then obviously we'll get a little bit to the Pelicans. But first, the Mavericks. Before all of that, I did want to touch on one thing. Trey brought this up the other day when we were talking after the show with Darren. And it's just all these reports coming in about Andrew Wiggins. And there's a lot of people that seem to think that he did not say gay that were there at the basketball court, or at the basketball game, excuse me, on the court. A lot of reporters, especially one in particular, John Krasinski, who writes for The Athletic, and he said that it definitely sounds like he said getting not gay. It is making both of us inclined to think maybe there is some sketchiness, maybe the ESPN report came out too quickly, maybe that it went out to crucify him a little too fast. I'm not sure. I wasn't at the game on the road in OKC. What I do know is that guys like John Krasinski, especially guys like John Krasinski, are just such stellar journalists, such solid reporters, and dedicated to being truthful above anything else and don't really have an agenda other than honestly telling the stories of the team, honestly reporting. And so when somebody like him starts to push back against a report like that, it gives me pause and makes me think, well, maybe people are off here. Maybe people are off. Maybe Schroeder was getting hot under the collar about Nerlens Noel already and just needed a reason to snap off. Trey and I just wanted to put that out there as kind of a disclaimer that, yeah, we talked about it and we ran with the headline that was there right away and we discussed it a little bit. And I don't think either one of us really jumped on Wiggins' throat at all. But just in case he did not actually say those things, we want that we want the skepticism that is around this to be shared on the show because we were talking about it and we don't want to burn somebody for something that maybe he didn't actually do. So if you haven't seen stuff like that, that's what's out around those reports right now, just so you guys have all the information. Go watch the video yourself, come to your own conclusion on it, and hopefully this blows over quickly, because whatever he said, this is not the kind of thing you want to be talking about when you're talking about your team, right? So hopefully we move on from this quickly. But again, just want to bring that up because that's kind of where the development in the story is right now. We want everybody to be on the same page. So there you go. Now let's jump in. Let's jump into some basketball, shall we? So I think the first thing that we need to talk about when we're looking at the Dallas Mavericks is the fact that Derrick Rose will be playing this game. He is set to play. I saw a report from CBS, I saw a report from ESPN, and I saw a report, I think it was, may have been from NBA.com. It was a bunch of places is the point I'm trying to stress here, that he should be playing against the Dallas Mavericks. And I like this a lot. I like this for two reasons. First of all, this is going to be the first game since the kill yourself quote, and I really want him to come out firing all cylinders. I really want him to be slashing at people. I really want him to come after guys, because here's the deal. he has been on fire all season long, and now it feels like maybe he's starting to get a little upset about how people are talking about him, and I think that that would only help him, and I want him to go out and put on a show. The second reason I like this, I'm not impressed with anybody defensively on the backcourt for the Mavericks. They don't have exactly stalwart defense in general, but I'm not super impressed with anybody's defense on the backcourt. So whether he's being guarded by a guy like DSJ or whether he's being guarded by a guy like Jalen Brunson, I think he should be able to score easily on either one of those guys. And I think this is going to be a game where he could put up another 3-point night, maybe even get close to 40. I'm not sure, but I think the combination of those two things should yield itself to a pretty solid Derrick Rose night, and I'm excited for that. I don't know how you wouldn't be excited for that. This is the guy who's second only to Steph Curry in All-Star votes. I think a lot of people are excited about him, and I think a lot of people have been impressed by the turnaround on and off the court from Derrick Rose, and so I'm really looking forward to him coming back from this little nick and putting on a big show, and I definitely think at home against a backcourt, a couple point guards in the backcourt that really aren't going to play super solid defense, I think that he should be able to put up a lot of points and have a really good night. I'm excited for that. Now, that's just a little piece of this, but I think that this could end up deciding it because I think there will be a point in the game where Derrick Rose and Luka Doncic will be going shot for shot in this game. I believe that this will be a very high scoring game. I know that the Timberwolves defense has been playing better since the Jimmy Butler trade. That said, I still don't think that they have the type of defense that can compete with a Maverick style team. And we talked about this, Trey and I talked about this going into this 5-game stretch that was going to be tough, right? Is that there was a couple of teams that shot a lot of three-point attempts, and the Mavericks were one of those teams. The 76ers are the other one of those teams. And they already showed that they can be successful against the Thunder. But the Thunder, Pelicans, Spurs, those are guys that don't shoot a ton of three-point attempts. The Mavericks and the 76ers are going to really spread you out. And those are typically the teams that the Timberwolves really struggle with because of that three-point defense. And so while they are at home and while the Mavericks are a bad road team, this still will be a problematic game for the Timberwolves because the Mavericks can go right at what the Timberwolves are weakest at on defense. And so I really do believe this is going to be a shootout type game, and it's super nice to have Derrick Rose back for this game because I think there will be a stretch where Luka starts hitting everything. And not only is Derrick Rose going to be that heat check guy, I think he's going to go back and forth with him. And not only is that going to be really wild and fun, but it's going to be crucial if the Timberwolves want to stay in this game. Because we talked about this earlier in the season, right? The Timberwolves' defense isn't the kind of defense that you can trust them to stabilize bad stints on offense. The Timberwolves' defense is the kind of defense that you're going to have to weather some storms from the Mavericks, or from any team, really. You're going to have to weather a couple storms. You know that that the Mavericks are going to be let on a run. That's pretty consistent for the Timberwolves. Obviously, basketball is a game of runs. But from the Timberwolves defense especially, they consistently let teams go on a run. Whether that's in the second quarter, late in the second quarter, whether it's starting out the third quarter, maybe in the fourth quarter. At some point, the Mavericks and Luka specifically are going to go on a run. And Derrick Rose has to be the one to heat check that and to get the Timberwolves going back again and to go back and forth with Luka for most of this game. So it's good to have him back, and I think that's a bunch of the reasons why it's critical, especially in this game, that he's returning. We're going to get to a quick break from some sponsors, then we're going to talk about Karl-Anthony Towns. Dallas Mavericks are in town playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I wanted to talk about Karl-Anthony Towns before I jumped to the teams in general. But this should be a really good game for Carl because he has been on fire the last 8 games. He has scored averaged 27.3 points, 53% shooting from the field, 38% shooting from three-point range, 16 rebounds, 4.4 assists, and 0.9 steals, 2.5 blocks. He has been an absolute animal. He's been insane. It's not only been his defense, but the way he's attacked on offense. He's averaging basically 5 offensive rebounds per game. He's been insane. And so that was the last 8 games, and it should keep rolling into this game. although there is some players who maybe could cause a problem, DeAndre Jordan in that front court, there's just not a guy that can be as versatile as Towns in that front court anymore. I mean, you think about how that used to be a guy like Dirk, but Dirk doesn't play a ton of minutes anymore, and Dirk's getting up there. He's getting at the tail end, the twilight of his career. So now you don't have, I mean, I guess you could kind of try and include Luka, but he's not going to play on Towns a lot. I am not inclined to believe. And so really, you don't have a guy who's going to be able to bang around with Towns on the boards, but still have his versatility to defend him when he's on offense. And when you have a matchup like that, I mean, that should be a monster green light for Towns, just like there should be a monster green light for Derrick Rose. And I really think that he should be able to put up like a 30 and 18 type of night. I just don't know who is going to slow him down. I mean, again, DeAndre Jordan has been an all-star before, and he's a really good player, but I just don't know if he has the skill set. He is big, but he can't play outside with Towns, and I think Towns can draw him outside and then dive inside on him, and I just don't know if he has the speed to compensate for the moves that Towns has. And on the defensive side, Towns has been playing so aggressive. Honestly, sometimes I think he can surprise guys. And the way this team played when they first played the Mavericks compared to how they play now and how I hope they'll play tonight, I think it's one of those situations where he could catch DeAndre Jordan off guard right away and have him kind of playing on his heels throughout this game. So I'm looking forward to Derrick Rose, and I'm looking forward to Karl Anthony Towns. I know those aren't exactly under the radar players, but I just think that the game is set up tonight for those two guys to really have big nights. And I'm also thinking that Josh Okogie is going to be a crucial piece here, because you saw the other night he drilled that three late in the game against the OKC Thunder. Now that was important, I think, because it shows that this team is still trusting him in his shooting. He hasn't been great from three-point range, but he's going to have to keep playing more now that Robert Covington, his knee is going to keep him out for longer. He's going to have to keep playing more minutes, and they're going to have to get that three-point shooting replacement for somewhere. Now, I get they could probably play Dario Saric more minutes. He could instill a little more three-point shooting. Anthony Tolliver can take up some of that three-point shooting. They could play him a little more. But at the end of the day, you want a guy like Josh Okogie who plays defense the way he does and justifies playing him because of that defense. You're going to want him to start finding that shot. And I think hitting shots at the end of game like the one he did against the Thunder are crucial for his confidence. And so I really want to see how the last days have maybe helped his confidence. Hopefully that translates to a couple more made threes, but I just like to see what kind of shots he's taking in this game. Where's his confidence level at? Is he growing in confidence level? Is he willing to take more of those threes? And because there was a time where he would take a lot of threes, and some games you see him kind of back off of those because he hasn't been making a lot of those. They desperately need him to start catching fire from three. And to be honest, in game, the only way you're going to start making those is if you take them. And if you're not making them, you just got to be able to shrug that off. I mean, think about guys like Kyle Korver. He is able to shrug off misses. And Josh Okogie, that's a skill that he has to learn. And I think that the combination of the team still having faith in him hitting big shots like he did against the Thunder, I think that helps grow your confidence. And so I would like to see what kind of shots he takes against the Mavericks. And hopefully, not only is he taking more of those shots, but he's actually sinking them. I want to see that confidence level grow in Okogie. And I'd like to, just tracking him on a game-by-game basis, I think you're able to track where that is. And so I think that's important for this team. Looking at overall team stats here, this is just, I don't want to say it's a take care of business game, because I think the Mavericks are a better team than when you qualify, oh, they just got to take care of business against this team. That's usually said about a team like the Hawks, the Suns, the Magic. Bad teams who are not particularly scary. The Mavericks are a good team, and while they have had their struggles on the road, they still show signs of life on the road. I mean, this team blew out the Hornets by 30 points just, what was that, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago? So they can crush teams on the road, but they are 3-18. That's their win-loss record on the road. They average less points, less rebounds, less assists when they're on the road. This is a team that plays markedly better at home. It seems to be a different team. They seem to play a little more loose and free-flowing basketball at home, and they seem to be a little wound tight on the road. Timberwolves should be able to take advantage of that because they average more points, and they have a win-loss record of 14-6 at home. They're a better rebounding team at home, and they have average more steals when they are at home. Excuse me. So this is set up just with Derrick Rose coming back, with how this team play, with how the Mavericks play on the road versus at home, with the way that Towns is playing right now the last eight games and what he has shown in those games. This is all set up to be a Timberwolves victory. And really, the only thing that could mess that up, I think, honestly, is Luka. And I know that there's a lot of hype around him as a rookie, and maybe you're dragging your feet a little bit on that take that, oh, how can one guy who's a rookie really mess this up if so many cards are stacked in the deck for the Timberwolves? I mean, the last seven games, he's been on a tear. He's averaging 19.8 points per game, 6.7 rebounds, and 4.9 assists on the season. The last seven games, he's been averaging 21.4 points per game, 7.1 rebounds, 4.1 assists, 1.1 steals per game. So he's been playing really well, been playing better than his averages the last seven games. He's been pretty hot. He's shooting 43% from the field. He's playing with a confidence and IQ that you don't see rookies usually play with. I mean, his ceiling is going to continue to get better with the way that you see his... I don't want to call him out of shape, but I think that he can build on his just raw athletic and get faster with his raw athletic ability. And then you see some of the moves he makes, some of those fade passes to open up a shot, some of those fadeaway shots. He already has the knowledge and already has some of the veteran tricks that help you get shots open, that help you create plays and create space. And he's just a rookie. It's really amazing. If you haven't watched a lot of him, please go out, find Luka tape that you can watch. If you have League Pass, go out and watch some old Dallas Mavericks basketball games. If you don't, go on YouTube, find something. Find something, watch more of Luka, because it really is amazing how he plays and how he's able to play at such a young age. So go out and watch him, because that will give you appreciation for why he makes this team so dangerous. I was thinking, and I really wanted Trey's take on this. Unfortunately, like I said, he is sick. Hopefully he gets better quickly. It would be interesting. I wonder how many people right now, just right now, if you could decide to have Luka or Towns on your team, I wonder how many people would go with Luka and how many people would go with Towns. Because to be honest, I'm on the fence right now. Because you know that both of those guys have a pretty high ceiling to get to, and I still don't think Towns is quite at his ceiling. But I think that if Luka stays in a gym for the next 2 years and really just gets faster, the tools he already has shown just as far as creating space on a basketball floor are so far ahead of where so many players are. It's really amazing. And it's really amazing the tricks that he has up his sleeves, the veteran moves that he has up his sleeves already at this age. His ceiling could be even higher than when people are anticipating going into the draft, or even could be higher than what people are anticipating after the first month of the season because of the skills that he has shown throughout this season with the Dallas Mavericks. And while Towns has a massive ceiling and while he is so good, I think that right now, is it fair to say you kind of know where you're going to get from Towns, whereas Luka might actually be the vanilla Harden. He might actually be that guy in 3 years, 4 years. And So I think there's that. Here's what it is that if you're comparing these two players and just trajectory for them and deciding would you take Luka or Towns, I think you're siding with the upside that Luka is showing versus kind of the stability that Towns would give you, because Towns, I think, has a little bit of a jump towards his ceiling still, but I feel like you do know, you have the glimpses of what to expect from the Towns ceiling, whereas I don't know if we can chart out where Luka's ceiling will be, but it's pretty damn high. And so that doesn't really have much to do with this game. It's just an interesting question I thought about when I was prepping for this game, and something that I think you guys should think about too, because I think all kinds of basketball hypotheticals and scenarios are really fun, and this is a good way to start an argument with a friend. So go out there and fight with people about basketball stuff, because that's really fun, and that's why one of the many reasons we love the NBA. I will take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to quickly get to predictions and the Pelicans. So, I said this was going to be a high-scoring game. Mavericks in town for the Timberwolves. Colton Molesky here breaking it all down for you. We've already gone over some matchups. My prediction for this game is that the Timberwolves do hold out for their fourth straight victory and win this one 120 to 116. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think that Luka and the three-point shooting of the Mavericks kind of comes home to bite the Timberwolves, and so they have a third quarter push because of that three-point shooting. That said, I do not think it's enough to push them over the hump, and I think Derrick Rose is going to have a big night. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to have a big night, and both those factors are going to be huge in this game for a victory, and they end up holding out. I think that it's going to be more of a kind of a first half, second half scenario where the first half is really dominated by the Timberwolves, and then the second half in that third quarter, you see the Mavericks kind of play themselves back into this game. Like I said, three-point shooting. The Mavericks are third in three-point attempts right now in the NBA at 34.3 per game. That's going to be something that really hurts the Timberwolves. They're going to take a lot of threes, and they're going to get looks because the Timberwolves' defense on the three-point line still isn't that great. And so that's going to be the thing that plays them into this game in the third quarter. But I think the Timberwolves are good enough to close out this game in the fourth quarter against the Mavericks. 120-116 is the final score. If you're looking at the over-under, for all my degenerates out there, my fellow gamblers, my fellow friends who have locked themselves in the misery that is the gambling cycle, then you are probably going to like the over in this game. It's at 224.5 right now, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And the spread is at, well, the consensus spread is at 4.5 right now in favor of the Timberwolves. I kind of would go for that over, I'm not going to lie to you. That's just my humble opinion. Looking forward quickly to the Pelicans. They play tomorrow. So actually kind of a tough back-to-back and a tough little stretch, because then you get Monday off, Tuesday you're in Philadelphia. So after a couple day rest here for the Timberwolves, everything happened pretty quickly. As far as the Pelicans, this one is at home, and the Timberwolves had a surprising loss to the Anthony Davis-less Pelicans on the road. This one, I think, is a little bit of a redemption game where they can go out, and Towns needs to have a big night against that front court. But more than anything, just a redemption for the team. Just go out, play solid basketball. If you move the ball on the perimeter enough, you're going to find an open shot against the Pelicans. They're missing guys, and they've had a bunch of injuries this season. So I just don't think that their defense is as strong as it was last year. And I think that you can find some pretty open looks if you just – I think ball movement is going to be crucial, because the Pelicans, right, rely a lot – kind of like the Bucks, they rely a lot on the length of their guys really disrupting your shot before it happens. And when guys are injured and where they're relying on players that maybe don't have that length, that don't play as much, then that's where you find real chinks in that defensive armor. And so I think it sounds simple, but and really you can apply this a lot to a lot of teams, I suppose, but I think ball movement is going to be big against the Pelicans, just because they can't rely on a default on that length that you saw from them last year. And I think that is going to end up hurting them here in this game, because if you have guys like Derrick Rose and Jeff Teague out there at the same time really passing the ball around and Jeff Teague with his high assist rate this year, I think could really cause problems for the Pelicans. And that's why I like the Timberwolves in this game as well. We'll talk more about that game on Monday after it's happened. Some of the matchups there we're able to take advantage of. But as for right now, that's all from me. Have a fantastic weekend. And thank you everyone for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast for the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.